Good afternoon, everybody out there listening to BBS Radio. This is the Reverend Blake Wooby. Welcome to my show, The Church of the Soul's Evolution. I went to a Toastmasters meeting this morning. The first and third Saturday of each month, there's a club that I go to. I'm a member of two other clubs. And this morning, we had an officer induction ceremony. I don't know if you know anything about Toastmasters, but there are officers like the Sergeant at Arms, the President, the Vice President, Education Vice President, Membership Vice President, Public Relations, the Secretary, and the Treasurer. So we just started the new year as of the 1st of July, and I am what is known as a division director. I have all these areas underneath me that I'm responsible for and a whole bunch of clubs within the areas. I was an area director last year. I've been a club president before, but this year I'm a division director. So my wife was a division director, the same division, Division G, last year. Now I've got it this year. And it can be a lot of work. You know, you don't get paid for being a Toastmaster, but you have public speaking practice, and that's very important to me. You know, just imagine, use your imagination and envision going to a room where there's about 10, 15, 20 people on a Saturday morning, early Saturday morning, 9:30 it starts, and then having to get up and talk in front of everybody. You think you could do it? It is challenging, and I've been doing it for years, so I am doing better than I was before. I believe I'm improving, and it has many benefits, you know, to have that confidence, really, you know, personal growth. I've seen the improvement in myself, really have, over the years. It's a slow process, but you do see improvement when you stick to it and you keep on plugging away. So anyway, I did this officer induction ceremony, and afterwards we went to a restaurant, and it was fun. That's how I started my day today. I hope you've done well over the last week. Taking a drink of water. I'll be hitting my bottle of water here. Last I mentioned, I think it was last week, we had the attempted assassination of President Trump. And so they did a rerun. I didn't speak because I was kind of blown away, riveted here to the television, watching it. And I saw it from the very beginning, and it was live when it happened, so it was shocking. I don't know how you felt, but it was shocking to me, because President Trump, to me, is like a brother. I've dreamt about him four times. I've had four separate dreams, and in my dream, he's like a big brother to me. And we talk, it's not too much, kind of like sitting at a table. The last time I remember, I was sitting at a table, and there was a plate of food in front of me, and I started eating it. And he said, no, that belongs to somebody else. And so I said, okay. And I stopped. That's all I remember. He's a good man. I was watching him tonight in his rally in Michigan. And he has been affected by the attempted assassination. Now, I can branch off in so many directions, my friends. And I like to do that, but I'll try to be as organized as I can, because this is all impromptu. I write down some thoughts, but I don't have anything written in front of me to go by. So I try to stay organized, but I do change the subject often, because that's what I do in the course of 55 minutes, you know, in order to keep on talking and not pause too much. One has to branch into different subjects, kind of like with Toastmasters, when you have table topics. I don't know if you've ever heard of table topics. It's an impromptu speech, 1 to 2 minutes, and they give you a subject, a question to talk about, and then you have that time to just say what's on your mind. It could be one of a number of subjects. But going back to Mr. Trump, I said he was a good man. He's even a better man now, I think, because he realizes, as do a lot of people, that he came very close to death. And he said, only by the grace of God, he's still alive today. And I believe that's true. I won't go into the details, but I know that this could be something that we're being helped with to bring about an affected, if you will, outcome that maybe we needed a little direction in. You know, this election coming up in November is very important. There's a lot of things at stake here for our country. And there are a lot of people who are in conflict with the different issues at hand. Abortion, for example. I consider that, and I've talked about this on previous radio shows of mine, is the number one most contentious issue between the Democratic and Republican parties. That's really what, in my opinion, divides us. On one hand, you have pro-life, and on the other hand, you have pro-choice. And if we only knew what God, the creator of the universe, and our mother and father God in heaven, you have to understand there is the creator who started it all, just to give you a little background, and then you have co-creator gods of solar systems. Right from the beginning, when the Big Bang started, solar systems began creating themselves one at a time, one after another. And when there was a certain amount, then that filled up the galaxy and a new galaxy began forming, one solar system at a time. And here we are in a spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy, pretty far from the center, actually. So our mother and father God on the sun is heaven or the spirit world. It's a world of light, a very special fire. You can't look at it too long, can you? You have to understand that we as human beings, we're not the only sentient beings in the universe and not in our Milky Way galaxy. There's a lot of other sentient beings in the universe. There's an intergalactic federation of sovereign planets that comprises approximately 26,000 different extraterrestrial species. And they are mostly humanoid, different color skin. I mean, I'm talking blue eyes. You wouldn't believe the variation of eyes that are out there. Tall, short, wide, thin, light beings. Some that are hermaphrodite or transgender, both male and female. And imagine, my friends, 26,000 at least separate species. Supreme Creator in the beginning, when the Supreme Creator, both male and female, kind of like an electrical being, an omnipotent being of energy, light energy, created the Big Bang with the plan to grow his herself, because we live in a universe of male and female. The truth, the Bible only talks about Father God, because that's the mindset of people who lived all those years ago that wrote the Bible, and we haven't changed it that much, have we? You have to understand the mindset back then was not intelligent or is now. We are co-creator gods in the making, you and I, because we are spirits in the material world. We have a brain. And the brain of the spirit is the soul. And when we die, and each and everybody listening to my voice, including myself, will die one day, hopefully far into the future, because every day on earth is a gift, a blessing. And we will transition to the afterlife, the spirit realms, or heaven, if you will. Depending on the level of your evolution or your spiritual development, you will either stay earthbound or maybe in some really world. And I understand the big picture why they might be that way. Who knows? You know, they could have been abused sexually, verbally, physically while growing up. Their parents didn't give them a lot of love. Whatever the reason, you know, take a drink. They turned out the way they did. Hitler, for example, or Mussolini or Saddam Hussein or Stalin. And sometimes people are shaped by the events. Sometimes it might be predestination, you know, predetermination. There's something very complicated and complex going on, my friends. Excuse me, I'm going to take another drink. So we are spirits in the material world, and we, when we transition to the afterlife, will be going to wherever we are. Well, let me rephrase that. We'll be going to a level that's commensurate with the level of our evolution. We'd have soul groups and soul friends, and we will go to them while other levels of evolution gravitate towards their soul groups, unless you're really, if you've done some major bad things in your life, like killing somebody or raping a woman, and you haven't repented before you die, then you will go down. There is a place in the center of the earth where there's a lot of fire, lava beds, right? Because the earth's center is a molten iron core, and that is otherwise known as God's jail or hell. And it's not eternal. It's a rehabilitation. Take it from me, the Reverend Blake Ruby, I wouldn't lie to you. That's the truth. God, the Mother and Father God, value people that they created, souls and spirits that they created in the beginning, too much. They're too much to condemn them to an eternity of pain and suffering. It's a rehabilitation. And believe me, no one wants to go there. It is absolutely horrific and terrible with demons, this grotesque, unimaginably terrible demons there that will taunt and torture souls to get that evil out of them, rehabilitate them, if you will, and they have absolutely no mercy. And the spirit does have properties similar to the physical body, and they will tear a spirit apart. And the nature of the spirit in the afterlife is that it can reform itself, reconstitute itself. So it can, you can be ripped apart by a terrible, grotesque demon that looks like a Tyrannosaurus Rex with teeth and claws, but it's malformed. One leg might be longer than the other. It looks grotesque and just terrible. And you can read about it in the book, 23 Minutes in Hell. There are some demons there that if you could just look at them for an instant, it would terrify you to the core of your being. They're that horrible. But they were made. Nothing has been made that wasn't made by the Creator in the beginning. Nothing, as it says in the Bible, nothing that has been made wasn't made by the Creator. There's a plan for that rehabilitation, and that is to, it's kind of like the people that go to jail here on earth. They have to pay the penalty for whatever they do wrong. We all do. And we are co-creator gods in the making. So if we don't go to hell and we don't stay on earth, like earthbound ghosts, that's what ghosts are, people who die suddenly and violently, don't know that they're dead, they stay on the earth plane, but they're not visible most of the time because they have transitioned to the afterlife where they don't have the five physical senses. They have the physical, they have the senses of the spirit, which are basically the same, with maybe one variation. I can't think about it off the top of my head, but then you have those that will lift up into the sky, fly away, if you will, and go down a tunnel. And guess where the only light is, the source of light here in the solar system? Any guesses? Well, you're right. It's a very special kind of world. I mean, it's round, just like Earth, but it's on fire. It has a nuclear core, a nuclear fire. And we as spirits, our bodies are made of light energy. Did you know that? Billions of electrons. And so for those that are very sufficiently evolved and well spiritually developed, then you'll make it all the way to that world on fire 93 million miles away. Now, some might be asking, themselves. Well, what about the other suns in the universe or in the Milky Way galaxy? Well, that's a good question. The answer is, with all those other species out there, extraterrestrial species, they are indigenous to their solar systems, and in particular, their planets. And the atmosphere of their planets determines the nature of their physical body's makeup, whether it could be very coarse skin, kind of like bark, and hair like feathers, maybe orange-colored skin, eyes that are able to stand that kind of atmospheric pressure or the heat or the cold. Isn't it great? The creator of the universe is absolutely wonderful, and he is out there waiting for you to communicate with him, her. All you have to do is try. Stop using God so much and start saying creator more often. And if you want to learn, I've said this before in previous shows, a little bit about the creator, and I've seen this video several times, at least 10 times, because I want to learn. I want to know the creator of the universe. I seek the creator of the universe. I seek to know him, her, and develop a relationship, because don't you know, things go better with God. Yeah. As it says in the Bible, which I refer to sometimes, even though I don't believe everything the Bible says, it works out for the best if you involve God with everything. All you have to do is say a prayer. Are you brave enough, courageous enough to say a prayer to the Mother and Father God? And you better believe there's a Mother God, my friends. Don't be wrong. Don't be mistaken. Don't put your money gambling, betting that Mother God, because you might just be sorely mistaken and filled with regret and remorse for not having known better when you get there on that one day in the future. And we will all get there, guaranteed. Nobody is escaping this life without dying. In other words, we will eventually, whether you live to be 100, or maybe the babies that only live a few years, even some that die in their mother's wombs. Abortion, I was talking about, I'll get back to that maybe later. Although, I'll just keep on going. I'm trying to stay focused and keep my train of thought, you know, without confusing anybody out there. So far, so good, I think. So I was talking about co-creator gods that we all are, and our Mother and Father God, beautiful spirits. I mean, their light is so bright when you stand in their presence, and you will one day when you have an accounting for your life here on Earth. It's called the Life Review, and their spirits are so bright. Their light will wash over you like a hurricane force wind with its brilliance and glory. I'm serious. And unless you are sufficiently developed spiritually and evolved, you won't be able to withstand it, and then you'll have to go back into the outer edges of heaven, and you've got the holy city in the center, and then you've got the border of heaven and the fields and the valleys and the ridges and the oceans and the seas. Yes, there are oceans and seas in heaven, all the trees of life, and it's beautiful. It's more beautiful than here on Earth. The colors are more intense. You better believe it. And the air is so beautiful. Everything there is like a few times more beautiful than here on Earth. I won't confuse you with big numbers and say it's 1,000 times better or 1,000,000 times better. It's a lot better than here on Earth. And it's the home of the spirit, my friend. That's our home. Earth is not our home. Planet Earth is not our home. We came from the sun, the spirit world. 93 million miles away, usually accompanied by angels, warrior angels. They bring us down, down, down into the atmosphere of Earth and above the home where we're going to be living with our mother, and maybe just a few feet away from our mother, who is going to be our mother. The baby's probably already being developed in the womb, you know, might be. It's usually after the heart starts beating. Up until the day we exit the womb, and they'll give us a push, and then we'll be, next thing we know, inside the baby, inside the womb, and we wake out, and the mother might say, oh, the baby just kicked. And then we can see through the mother's eyes sometimes. It's an amazing, beautiful, wonderful thing to be born into this world. This is not our home, as I mentioned, and then spend 9 months in the womb of our mothers and then born. And sometimes we live to be a ripe old age. I know a woman who I go to a Toastmasters club with. Her mother comes to visit sometimes. She's 102 years old, soon to be 103. And she looks really good. And she's able to eat, sit down and eat, and communicate. It's an amazing thing. Now, some of us, I think it's predestined, in my opinion. You know, there's what they know, what is known as the book of life that we look at in our pre-existence before we're born on Earth. And we're able to choose our lives depending on the needs of our soul for its evolution, where we're going to be living, what our bodily features will look like, our facial characteristics, what our teeth, even our teeth will look like, who our family is going to be, who our friends will be, accidents we'll have in our life. I mean, so it's all kind of predetermined, predestined. But here's the thing, we're also given a mission. And it's very complicated. It's hard to understand, actually, hard to comprehend. But we have to stick to our mission. Now, we can branch off from our mission to the left and to the right, kind of like going down a road and coming to a crossroads and then determining which way to go. But the thing is, no matter what road we choose, it will have been determined that that is yet the road that we had chosen in the beginning. But since it is so complicated, and that's why we can't think of it, that's why we can't remember it, because it is going to affect our lives here on Earth, where we are here to learn basic social values. And that's why we pass through the river of oblivion as a spirit on the way to our life here on Earth, so that we will forget the predetermination. We will forget all the past life memories, how many past lives you've had. And we will forget the universal knowledge that we had easy access to when we were in the spirit world. Taking a drink. So we are co-creator gods in the making. Through the process of reincarnation, after this very lengthy life that we live, hopefully so. As you know, as I mentioned, some people don't live to be too old, and they're back home. And you don't grieve too much for those people that have gone, because they're, unless they've done some really bad things in their lives, chances are they will go to that world of light, where everything's very beautiful, where angels are everywhere, and there's roads with chariots that go down these highways, and the people there are so happy and joyful. Just imagine, you would be too, we will be happy and joyful without having to worry about going to the bathroom every once in a while. And bodily fluids, you know, and there's such a thing as in heaven, believe it, the Sexual Reproduction Act. I've got to be careful with my words here. In other words, making love to another being carries on when we get to heaven. It's called merging of the spirits, and it's an amazing thing. Read Sylvia Brown's book called Conversations with Heaven. She talks about that in detail. And isn't that a cool thing to look forward to? Did you think that we wouldn't be doing it anymore there? Now, spirits are predominantly male and female. And males don't really do it to each other, so to speak. You always choose a member of the opposite sex because it's the law of the universe that, you know, opposites attract. However, there can be like a melding of the mind with another male spirit of the same sex. But it's not the same as when you have a member of the opposite sex, and then you have the full body experience, the full body feeling, from what I've learned, from what I've read. Anyway, through that process of reincarnation, one life after the other, and it's a slow process. And when you go to the spirit, and they, you'll be surprised, they have buildings that are beautiful architecture, shining with a very special light, white marble, pearl, inlaid with precious jewels. And all the great elders that are there, people who have been there for thousands of our years, which time over there is different, you know, because really there is no time other than the revolution of our planet around the sun and the rotation on its axis, half a day of light, half a day of sunshine. There are no clocks in heaven, you know. There is no time as we know it. And you have to understand that people who used to walk this earth like we are right now, that have lived like we are living right now, throughout the centuries, from all different countries around the world, all different cultures are going to be there, because there is no religion. There's only worship of the Creator for the miracles of all creation. I mean, just think about it. All those years ago, there didn't have to be anything, right? And then the Creator initiated the Big Bang, and the universe began forming, the physical universe began forming itself. And now we're part of that. We are assisting the Supreme Creator in the creation of the universe. The edges of infinite space are still expanding, my friends. Still expanding, and new solar systems are being created at this time. New suns, stars, are being birthed in the outer edges of the universe as we speak. Their nuclear core is being fired up, and that whole process continues. Solar systems being formed, planets, moons, from dust, swirls of dust, beginning with dust and rock and coalescing. And then, as I mentioned before, I'm going to take a drink. Excuse me. The Supreme Creator initiated the four forces of the universe at the beginning, at the Big Bang. The first force is the force that created all the suns, planets, moons. The second force created the animal and plant life on all the planets throughout the universe. So here on Earth, you have over 1 million types of insects, 30,000 types of fish in the ocean, seas, rivers, and lakes, over 10,000 types of birds, over 10,000 types of reptiles, over 9,000 types of amphibians, over 5,000 types of mammals. And just imagine, my friends, out there on those other planets, which they're discovering more and more each day, what other life might look like. On other planets, I know on one planet in particular, they've got the same kind of life here on Earth, and different life too, but they have on this one planet from the book, Abduction to the Ninth Planet, the planet Thiaouba, Thiaouba. They've got horses, hippopotamuses, and what else? I can't think off the top of my head. But suffice it to say, that they have a lot of the same animals we have here on Earth. They've even got flying horses. Imagine that. Yeah, flying horses. Why not? If the Creator created all his life on Earth, the Creator can do anything. The Creator is magical, omnipotent, omniscient. It's like saying the Creator can just anything that he or she wants to conclude. Something that we couldn't even imagine, because the Creator has the power and the knowledge to create that life. All the Creator has to do is envision it in his or her mind, and then by the power of his or will, it comes into existence. Think about it, over 1 million types of insects here on Earth. They're part of the ecological system, true, but each one is uniquely made. Take a normal housefly, for example. We think they're kind of nasty, you know. We've got some down in the kitchen right now because dogs go in and out of the door. They fly in. They're looking for food. That's understandable, you know. They want to eat. They don't know where to go. And so they fly into the house. They look, we've got some meat cooking downstairs for the dog. They can smell that. They've got eyes. Imagine how complex it is to create the eyes of a fly. You know what they look like. But just imagine creating that out of nothing. And they have wings to fly. They've got a mind of their own. They can fly anywhere they want to. They can stop. They can walk around. They can clean themselves. And that food, that goes right through them. They have a metabolism, and they can reproduce. And that's just one of a million. The creator of the universe is so incredibly awesome. And that's why when we go to heaven, other than maybe activities and just enjoying how beautiful it is there and mingling with the people so joyful and happy. As I mentioned, you don't have the same worries as here on Earth. And there's laughter everywhere and there's music everywhere. And everyone is involved in the worship of creation. The miracle of existing, this period, simply existing. How did I come to exist? I heard once recently on television, I forget who said it, but someone said, aren't we fortunate that the Creator didn't make us as a butterfly rather than a human being? And believe me, the Creator has the power to do that. And so we should be very grateful for each and every day our existence. Now, don't be too freaked out. Be brave. Be courageous. Enjoy the ride. Everything's going to be all right. You have angels. Everybody's got at least one angel looking after you, a guardian angel. You know that. We can't see them because they're in the spirit realm, but they can materialize in the physical realm when appropriate. You know, they're very super intelligent, and they're on missions, so they're guided by the powers that be, you know, that tell them to go and do things. And of course, you know, the powers in heaven, whether it's the Mother and Father God or Jesus, who died on the cross and is there in the spirit world, and all the disciples and the patriarchs of the Bible and the great people from other countries around the world throughout the centuries, the extremely intelligent and brave people that incarnated here hundreds of years ago and led the way in some area of endeavor. Sir Isaac Newton, Albert Einstein, brilliant minds in heaven. How would you like to join them? I hear there's one particular room that you can go to. I forget what it's called, but you can be among the great minds, the people that lived here on Earth, Copernicus, and some of the great astronomers in the past, people who were well ahead of their time in those years, centuries ago, who were advanced souls, suffice it to say, that were incarnated here on Earth. And we could have been the same as them. Take the pioneers that went across the American West, you know, that started some from the East Coast and endured all the hardships that they did to create this country, this great country of the United States of America. And some didn't make it. Some made it, and then they built their homes, and they had their land that they grew crops on, and they formed this nation for us. But it was a very difficult thing to do. Do you think you could have done it? It was very possible that you could have been born into that time frame, and you could have been one of them. They kind of set the way. Take, for example, I'm going to take a drink here. The people that lived in the World War II era, like my parents did, they were born right after World War I ended and were thrown into World War II. So after World War II, mom survived the bombing of London. Dad survived Normandy and Dunkirk, and they were bitter that they had been thrown into a world war, you know, where people were trying to kill them. The Germans, you know, maybe that was predestined, I don't know. It all kind of had to do with their evolution, I think. Take, for example, I'm branching off here, 9/11 when it happened, just a terrible, horrendous terrorist act, you know, that killed at least 5,000 people. But there was some good that came out of it, you know. It brought the country together as never before. and we were united there for a while. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't want to encourage that kind of thing to happen again, but going back to World War II, even though millions of people were killed, especially Jews, over 6 million Jews, I mean, treated worse than animals, you know, machine gunned down, put into ditches and buried, and some starved in these concentration camps, or killed in the gas ovens there. You know, I'm part Jew myself. And now there's still anti-Semitism. My God, what is wrong with people not remembering those millions of Jews that were killed by the Nazis in World War II? But I understand what's going on. I've mentioned this before on a previous show, but I won't go into it right now. Instead, I'll go back to us being co-creator gods, and we have our mother and father in heaven. And one day, you will stand before them, and I'm not entirely certain if everyone will, or it might be somebody in a very high-ranking spirit, maybe Jesus, there where you will see your life, past life, and like either a hologram or on a television video screen, and you relive every single moment of your life from a different three different perspectives, from watching, from being who you were at that time, where you could enter your body and experience what you were thinking and feeling emotionally at that time, and also from the other person's perspective. So let's say you were in an argument with someone and you were angry at each other. You would feel that other person's emotions and how you were hurting them. And so it behooves us, remember this, please, be careful with every interaction you have with someone, because you're being recorded. It is being recorded. I tell you the truth. It really is. Every second of your life is being recorded, and you will look at it afterwards. And anything that you are ashamed of, regretful, remorseful for, that's karmic debt that you might have to pay up. So that can restrict your soul's evolution. Be careful with karma, because you have to pay it back. You hurt somebody, you got to pay it back. They hurt you, they got to pay it back. I'm going to take a drink. The words that we use are so important. This simple interactions, walking down the street, saying hello to somebody, giving them a wave. You'd be surprised at just how friendly people can be. But they're like you, where they don't do kind of put themselves on the line and embarrass themselves, you know. I've had some people say sometimes nothing when I've said, hi, good morning, how are you? Nothing. Well, they might be going through a bad day. Who knows what's going on at their house, you know. Maybe they didn't sleep well the night before. Maybe somebody in their family just died. Maybe they had a fight with their wife. You never know. So we have to be understanding, you know, and remember to pray. You are a prayer warrior, you know. I've said this before on previous shows. I've heard this, read this about a near-death experience, a man named Lou Famoso. Now, if you're interested, you can check it out on YouTube, what he went through. And you could also see it in the internet. If you Google it, Lou Famoso, a Vietnam veteran, he came back from two tours, bought himself a brand new Mustang, 1964. Oh, I love those old Mustangs. How about you? I just love them. All the way up until like 1971, 72, and then they kind of weren't as good as they used to be. But anyway, he bought a new Mustang, and he was on his way to a party on a Saturday night. And he was going fast down this country road at about 100 miles an hour. And I don't know if you're familiar with those old Mustangs, but they're very front heavy. They had the engine in front, not much else in the back, you know. So when they got to high speed, and if he hit a bump, it became very unstable. And he flipped end over end several times. The car caught on fire. He was thrown from the car. Of course, didn't have seat belts back then. I think they didn't. and he had a gaping head wound, and he was dying. And then there was a car with friends of his that were on the way to the same party, and they picked him up, took him to the hospital. He had a near-death experience. Make a long story short, he stood in front of the Father God, which is very possible if you're a male spirit that you might only see the Father God. If you're a female spirit, you might see the Mother God. It was just a beautiful female spirit of light, just absolutely awesomely beautiful and just hard to describe how beautiful our Mother and Father God are, my friends. Take it from me. They are so beautiful that it's hard to put into words the nature of that beauty, the light that shines from them, the love that comes from them. They know everything about you. They've been tracking you since your birth, even before then. They know all about you, your name. You have a different name in the spirit world. But anyway, so Father God said to Lou Famoso, and remember these words, please do me a favor. I'm going to take a drink. Now, this is a cool thing that that beautiful being of light, who I interpreted as being the Father God, could have been the creator of the universe. I don't know. Came to him from the distance, first like a small golden orb of light, and then getting bigger and bigger, and then like a basketball, coming closer and closer, and then like a beach ball. And when I got in front of him, it materialized into this beautiful being of light, kind of like with a nuclear energy, and that's outlined as if outlined with a fine quill pen. And you realize he was in the presence of a very beautiful, powerful spiritual being who I interpreted as either the Father God or maybe even the creator of the universe, who could do anything, you know. He, she can do anything. And it said to Lou Famoso, among other things, that man will prey, P-R-E-Y, on man until man learns to pray, P-R-A-Y, for man. Will you please not forget that? Be the prayer warrior that you are. As spiritual beings, spirits in the material world, we have that innate, inherent ability, just like singing and dancing, to pray, to establish a relationship through communication to our Mother and Father God and to the Creator of the universe by prayer. Just believe you can do it. All you have to do is be a little bit innovative, a little bit creative. Try not to say the same prayer twice. Try to think of new things. Don't forget to lavish your prayers with praise, because life is indeed a miracle, my friends. What happened to Mr. Trump? That was a miracle by the grace of God. He's still alive today. Although it's not an uncommon thing for someone to get grazed in the head by a bullet, you know. But think about President Reagan. That bullet that hit him came within, I think, an inch or so from his heart. If it had pierced his heart, of course, he would have died. And there are other instances like that, other circumstances where people came really close to dying. My wife had pneumonia really bad back in 2019, and she was on her way down the tunnel. I prayed for her. I stood there next to her bed, and she was intubated for 6 days. And it was a miracle that she survived, my friends. And thank you, Creator. Thank you, God, Mother and Father God. Thank you. A thousand thank yous that she's still alive today. But she heard a voice that said, let go. It's not your time yet. And she let go, and she survived. And my prayers were answered, and other prayers, too. My stepdaughter was there, and she was a great source of strength for her to see her through. Just imagine being intubated, because you can't breathe on your own for 6 days. Having that tube all the way down into your lungs, it's not a pleasant experience, my friends. No one should have to go through that. But it happens to a lot of people. And of the people that get pneumonia, some don't survive. So I'm very fortunate to have her here today, still with me. And my ex-wife, she had gallbladder surgery. And she met her father, who had died at age 44 from kidney disease, and her brother, who I never met, who died in a car train wreck. An Amtrak hit his car on a cold winter morning up there in Ohio, as he was crossing the tracks, the sun was in his eyes, and he didn't see the silver blue Amtrak train barreling towards him at one of these crossings that didn't have protection, and he pulled forward. It was an 84 Mustang that got hit broadside, and he was killed instantly. And she saw him and her father in heaven, the spirit world. You can call heaven whatever you want, spirit world, the afterlife. And they looked at her and said, it's not your time. You've got to go back. And that's happened with a lot of people. Same thing with Donna Rebido. I've talked with you about her before. Check out her YouTube video. Donna Rebido, R-E-B-A-D-O-W. She drowned. She was up there in the Adirondacks on a family vacation where they were water skiing and fishing, and they had a timeshare cottage up there. And they also had something known as a lake toy, which was pulled behind the speedboat that usually was used for water skiing. And so it was being towed, and they were having fun, and they were falling off into the water and laughing and just really having a great time. And all of a sudden, the brother-in-law who was driving the boat said, get off the lake toy. The boat is sinking. We have to go to the shore. Which was a very hard thing to understand also for them, because the boat was supposed to be unsinkable, but that's another story. So they took the rope off the lake toy and threw it into the water. And that rope was supposed to float, but somehow it got wrapped around Donna's leg. Go figure. That's God. And the boat took off, dragged her underneath water. This is true. I'm not making this up. And she realized she was going to die. Air was coming out of her lungs, and she said to herself, it's kind of funny, I need that air. And she realized she was going to die. And next thing, in that same instant, she found herself in what she called eternity. She went through like a saran wrap. Check it out, saran wrap veil. That river of oblivion I was telling you about that separates the Earth's atmosphere from the afterlife, where you could be in outer space, for example, you know, and surrounded by billions of beautiful diamond-like shining stars out there. If you could only see, just branching off temporarily here, if you could only see just how beautiful stars are in outer space, like our astronauts that have gone out there have seen them, where they look almost 25% bigger and 25% brighter. Beautiful night. Well, there actually is no night in outer space, right? But seeing all the millions and even billions of stars out there, my friends, would bring tears to your eyes. How beautiful it all is if you were out there in beyond the atmosphere in outer space. But anyway, so Donna met the creator of the universe. She was there all of a sudden in her presence, and she described the creator as an electrical being, kind of like the Aurora Borealis, an omniscient, omnipotent being, and she began a conversation with the creator telepathically, where it went something like this. She said, oh my God, you are the creator of the universe. And she heard back right away in her mind. She said it was kind of like, you know those things, you go to in a bank, you pull up and you get this tube and you put your stuff inside you, or the slips to get money out and a pen, and then you put it back in this vacuum controlled tube that goes all the way back to the teller, and they help you out and they send it back. She said it was like that. That knowledge, that kind of communication just went inside her head as if being stuffed into there by the creator of the universe. Telepathically, she said, oh my God, you are the creator of the universe. She heard back right away, I am the creator of the universe. She said, oh my God, you know everything. She heard back immediately, I know everything. So Imagine that. The Creator knows everything, everything. And the Creator said to impress her, I imagine, or maybe for other reasons that I don't know of, Creator said, I even know how many grains of sand are on a beach in New Zealand. And immediately she was rocketed down to this beach with her hands kind of like the sands on the beach. And she knew in her mind instantly how many grains of sand were on that beach. And then the Creator said, I even know how many hairs you have on your head. Imagine that. Isn't that a pretty incredible intelligence that knows that? But we don't know the Creator that well because we don't think about the Creator that often. And we don't think about the Creator that often because you don't try to establish a relationship with the Creator. You don't seek the Creator. And it's understandable, my fellow co-creator God in the making, that you would feel that way because we have our lives to live. And it's not easy here on earth. You know, we've got to get money. I heard a song today by The Verve, who were a pretty popular band in the early 90s called Bittersweet Symphony, Bittersweet Symphony. And one of the verses goes, talks about trying to make ends meet, trying to make some money, then you die. And life is like that. It's hard here on earth. It's a really difficult, in fact, from what I've heard from my research, among all the other planets, and this is really significant, among all the other planets in the universe, planet Earth is one of the hardest. So if you're out there listening to my voice, wherever you are, or maybe we'll listen to it later, give yourself a pat in the back, my friends, for surviving here on planet Earth. You volunteered to come here. That's the truth. And I know some people can't handle it anymore. They commit suicide, and it's understandable, although suicide is never an answer. Because if you do suicide, you're going to have to go back and do it all again, maybe on the same planet, maybe a similar planet, another planet where they have war and killing all the time. Do you want to do that? All the progress that you've made up until that point of your death, you're going to have to do over again. It's a waste of time, and it affects your loved ones, too. It changes their life plans, their missions. So I wouldn't recommend that anyone commit suicide. Just wait until the morning, a brand new day. Whatever you've done, just say a prayer, for God's sake. It doesn't take much to say a prayer. Be humble. Humble yourself. Say a prayer. I need help. Please help me, God. God will help you. I've heard it so many times before, people that have said that, and they were helped. No matter what you've done, no sin is too great where you can't reach out to the Creator and get that understanding. Yes, I know. But it's because of this or that. And don't worry. Everything will be all right. Just keep the faith. Believe in me. I will help you get through this. You can change your life around. You can change yourself. You can rebuild your life. I love you. The Creator loves all of us. Believe me. Everyone. Walk down the street. You see a guy on a skateboard. Maybe that woman next to you at the grocery store. A policeman in his police car, someone on an airplane, the stewardess on an airplane, the pilot, Mr. Trump, Mr. Biden, God, the Creator, the universe, and our Mother and Father God, who are co-creators, and you are co-creator God too. I told you that, right? They love us all. Every single one of us is loved. Believe it. Over there in China, all those billions of people, over a billion, 1.4, I think, they're all the children of God. And believe me when I say, I'll keep on repeating this, I can't say it enough, there is the Creator of the universe, and then there are Creator Gods. And the purpose of the co-creator gods who are in charge of their own solar system is to grow and expand the universe in accordance with the Supreme Creator's plan. None of us would be in existence without the Supreme Creator having initiated the Big Bang at the beginning. And our co-creator God, Mother and Father God in heaven, on their thrones, right there inside the holy city, in that world of light, were at one time in their past, just like us, living on other planets throughout the solar system, throughout the galaxy, and maybe another galaxy, going through that process of reincarnation, purifying their soul, evolving their soul, until they got to that level of evolution where they could be co-creator gods and have their own solar system, create their own planets, have their own spirit children, simply by utilizing the cosmic forces put into place by this creator, knowing how to create by what, using what words. Just like it says in the Bible, the beginning was a word, and word was with God, and nothing was created without the word. That's how we do it. And we are microcosms of the universe. We are co-creator gods in the making. You can either create or destroy with your words. The choice is up to you, my friends. Or you can be neutral. But be brave and courageous, the spirit you are, and create. You are unique. I am unique. And we will survive this life, even if I was to die tomorrow. I know that my soul and my spirit will continue on. And learning continues there in the spirit realm. When you get to heaven, the learning never stops. And the worship continues all the time, because the creator of the universe is so worthy of worship and love and praising. Don't forget to praise the creator. All you have to do is go out there tonight, look up into the evening sky, and say, creator of the universe, are you out there? And you might hear something back. Something like, yes, I am. The creator of the universe is cool. A very cool intelligence that knows you inside and out, and knows how to communicate with you, and wants to love you and impress you, and will say something that might shock you and make you laugh even, and say, creator, I just wanted to say that you are so awesome. You are so beautiful. And the creator might hear back something like, yes, I know. And you are too. Everything's going to be all right. I love you very much. You can say back when you hear that, you can say, I love you too, creator. Thank you for everything. That's a form of praise, saying thank you. Don't forget to say please a lot, too. Do you need something? You need help? Say please. It's a magic word, just like thank you, my friends. Don't be too proud not to say that, not to say please and thank you. The creator likes to hear those words because they are magical. They have power. How am I doing on time there? Doug, are you out there? I think I'm beyond my time. Anybody? Doug, Don? 7 o'clock? 7:01 now. Still got a connection. I better wrap up. This might come back and say, you got 30 seconds. So thank you for listening. Keep the faith. Remember, man will prey on man until man learns to pray for man. Same thing with women, too. Women will prey on women until women learns to pray for women. Women learn to pray for women. P-R-A-Y versus P-R-E-Y. Think about that. We need you as a prayer warrior to make the world a better place, my friends. Thank you for listening. I love you, whoever you are out there, how many you are. And creator of the universe, please bless us, everyone. Keep us safe and well. Guide us. Protect us. Thank you. 1,000 thank yous for everything. Goodbye, everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.